Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and most fascinating discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is great to be here with you all. Today is episode 369, and we are looking back at the biggest stories from yesterday, April 17th, 2026.
We have a really packed show today, Mike. We are going to be talking about a massive doubleheader of news from Anthropic, including their new Claude design tool and a rather sneaky hidden cost in their new 4.7 model. We are also looking at two major privacy stories, one about the terrifying reality of commercial geolocation data, and another about a proposed U.S. bill that would mandate age verification at the operating system level. And finally, we'll wrap up with a classic piece of science fiction that had the Hacker News community talking about one of the best video games of all time.
Let us jump right into the Anthropic news, because they really dominated the front page yesterday. The top story, with nearly 900 points, was the launch of Claude Design by Anthropic Labs. This is a new product powered by their Claude Opus 4.7 vision model that lets users collaborate with Claude to create visual work like prototypes, slides, and user interfaces.
Yeah, the pitch here is that you can just describe what you need, and Claude builds a first version. Then you refine it through conversation, inline comments, or even custom sliders that Claude generates on the fly. It can ingest your company's design system by reading your code base, so everything stays on brand. They even announced a big integration with Canva, so you can export these AI drafts directly into Canva to polish them up.
It sounds like a massive time saver, especially for product managers or founders who don't have a strong design background but need to mock something up quickly. But what I really loved was the discussion in the Hacker News comments about the state of web design. A user named LJM pointed out that a tool like this is really only possible because of how homogeneous the internet has become. We have all settled into these very standard UI patterns, you know, the glass effects, the drop shadows, the bootstrap layouts.
Exactly. And that kicked off a fascinating debate about whether homogeneous design is actually a bad thing. Another commenter brought up this brilliant real-world analogy. They said, look, the reason people stay in a Marriott hotel when they travel for work is precisely because it is homogeneous. You know exactly what mattress, desk, and TV you're going to get. There are no surprises. But when you travel to the Amalfi Coast for a vacation, you want that artisanal weirdness, even if the bed is stiff and there's no air conditioning.
I thought that was such a perfect way to frame it. For an internal enterprise tool, say a database for hospital lawyers, you want the Marriott experience. You want the most obvious, familiar, least surprising interface possible. You want the design to get out of the way. But if you're building a website for a creative tool or a consumer brand, you might want that artisanal weirdness. Claude Design seems perfectly positioned to pump out those reliable, Marriott-style interfaces at lightning speed.
Speaking of Anthropic pumping things out, let us talk about the other big Claude story from yesterday. A user named Array07 posted a deep dive into the tokenizer costs for the new Claude 4.7 model, and it got over 500 points. The title is Measuring Claude 4.7's Tokenizer Costs. Here is what it costs you.
Right. So Anthropic's migration guide mentioned that the new tokenizer uses roughly 1.0 to 1.35 times as many tokens as the 4.6 model. But this developer actually measured it on real-world content, like technical docs, user prompts, and code diffs, and found the multiplier was actually around 1.47 times for English and code.
Which is a huge deal. Even though the sticker price per token is the same, your text is being chopped up into smaller pieces. That means you are burning through your context window faster, your cached prefix costs more per turn, and you hit your rate limit sooner. Anthropic claims this smaller tokenization forces the model to pay closer attention to individual words, which leads to better instruction following. And the author did find a slight improvement in strict instruction following benchmarks, but it is definitely a hidden price hike.
The Hacker News comments really zoomed out on this one to talk about the broader economics of AI. There's this idea that large language models are hitting a logarithmic performance to cost frontier. Basically, getting that last little bit of performance out of a model is costing these companies exponentially more in compute, which might explain why Anthropic is subtly increasing the effective price.
One comment thread I found super interesting was about the cost dynamics of human labor versus AI labor. A user pointed out that AI is tireless, does not need holidays, and can be spun up or down instantly. But another user countered that the cost to hire a human is actually highly predictable, whereas the cost of AI is not. As a human, you have a floor on your bargaining power because you need food and shelter. But with AI, you are completely at the mercy of a monopoly that could effectively make your automated workforce 20% more expensive overnight just by tweaking a tokenizer.
That is a scary thought for startups building entirely on top of these APIs. It definitely explains why so many companies are investing heavily in running open source models in-house. You want predictable costs and control over your own infrastructure.
Which brings us perfectly to our next two stories, both of which are about the terrifying lack of control we have over our own data. Let us start with the piece from Lawfare titled, "Ban the Sale of Precise Geolocation." This one got over 600 points.
This article is a deep dive into an American ad tech surveillance system called Weblock, which is sold by a company called Penlink. A leaked document showed that Weblock provides access to records from up to 500 million mobile devices globally. It tracks device identifiers and exact location coordinates. The article detailed how it was used to track one man in Abu Dhabi up to 12 times a day, just from his phone pinging GPS and local Wi-Fi networks.
And the customer list for this tool is wild. We are talking the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, the U.S. military, and local police departments across California, Texas, and New York. They are buying this data to bypass the need for a warrant. The ad industry always claims this data is anonymized, but the Hacker News comments completely shredded that argument.
Oh yeah, the comments were ruthless. As one user put it, there is no such thing as anonymized location data when you have the location of where someone sleeps and where they work. If a unique ID stops for 8 hours every night at your house and stops for 8 hours every weekday at your office, it is you. It takes almost zero effort to de-anonymize that.
A commenter reminded everyone about the famous Netflix Prize dataset from 20 years ago. Netflix released supposedly anonymized movie ratings, and researchers easily identified users just by cross-referencing the dates with public IMDb reviews. If movie ratings are that easy to crack, highly precise location data tracking your daily routine is basically a digital fingerprint. A lot of commenters were pointing the finger at Apple and Google, asking why mobile operating systems even allow apps to embed these third-party location trackers in the first place.
Well, speaking of Apple and Google operating systems, that is the perfect segue to our fourth story. There is a new U.S. bill called the Parents Decide Act, or HR 8250, and it is mandating on-device age verification. The article from Reclaim the Net got nearly 400 points.
This bill is honestly staggering in its scope. It would require Apple, Google, and any other operating system vendor to verify the age of anyone setting up a new device in the United States. You would have to provide your date of birth, and the OS would have to verify it, likely using a government ID or biometric scan, just to turn on your phone or laptop.
And the kicker is that the OS would then act as an age broker for every app you install. So if an app needs to know if you are over 18, it pings the operating system. The bill is being sold as a way to protect children from social media and AI chatbots, but as the article points out, it is essentially a delivery mechanism for a national ID requirement.
The Hacker News community was deeply cynical about this, and rightfully so. One commenter pointed out that politicians will push any draconian surveillance measure under the guise of helping kids, instead of actually improving the material conditions of parents so they have time to properly parent. It is the classic playbook. Name a genuine harm, center a sympathetic victim, and then use it to justify reshaping the digital lives of 300 million adults.
There are also massive First Amendment implications here. Historically, you have the right to read, watch, and speak anonymously. If your operating system knows your verified identity and age, the default assumption shifts. You are no longer an anonymous adult browsing the web. You are an identified subject whose permissions are gated by Apple or Google. Plus, as commenters noted, this just further entrenches the tech duopoly. Only massive trillion-dollar companies have the infrastructure and legal teams to comply with a national biometric age verification mandate. It would completely kill custom Android forks or privacy-focused Linux distributions.
It is a really dark trajectory for consumer tech. But to cleanse the palate a bit, let us move to our final story of the day. Someone posted a link to Isaac Asimov's classic 1956 short story, The Last Question, and it shot up to 656 points.
I love when classic literature makes it to the front page. For those who haven't read it, The Last Question is a brilliant short story that spans trillions of years. It starts in 2061 with two technicians working on a giant computer called Multivac. They get into a drunken bet about whether the universe will eventually run out of energy, the concept of entropy. So they ask Multivac how to massively decrease the net amount of entropy in the universe. And the computer answers, insufficient data for meaningful answer.
The story then jumps forward through different eras of human evolution as humanity spreads across the galaxy and eventually the universe, building more and more advanced computers. And in every era, someone asks the computer the same question about reversing entropy and always gets the same answer. It is a beautiful, profound story about the end of the universe and the ultimate fate of intelligence.
What was so funny about the Hacker News thread, though, is that it immediately got hijacked by video game fans. The top comment simply said, Outer Wilds vibes. And then the entire thread became a massive discussion about this indie video game called Outer Wilds, which deals with very similar themes of cosmic exploration, time loops, and the end of the universe.
I was laughing reading through it because Outer Wilds is notorious for being a game you cannot talk about without spoiling it. The progression in the game is entirely based on your own knowledge and discovery, so the comments were full of people trying to give tips without giving anything away. One user was giving advice like, just remember that dying in the game is normal. Do not panic when the timer runs out. And another user was getting upset, saying, hey, you just spoiled the central mechanic of the game.
It is so typical of Hacker News to take a masterpiece of mid-century science fiction and turn it into a highly technical debate about video game mechanics and spoiler etiquette. But honestly, if you haven't read the last question, it takes maybe 15 minutes and it is absolutely worth your time. And apparently, if you haven't played Outer Wilds, you need to drop everything and go play it right now without Googling anything else about it.
That is great advice to end on. That is all we have for you today on HN Pod. We covered a lot of ground, from AI design tools and hidden token costs to the erosion of digital privacy and the heat death of the universe. Just a light Wednesday reading list for the Hacker News crowd.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or a coworker. We will be back tomorrow to break down the next batch of top stories. Until then, keep building and stay curious.